This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to another episode of You Don't Know Billy Jack, a podcast series where we discuss some of the greatest wrestling matches of all time through the eyes of a non-wrestling fan. My name is Drew. I am joined by a frequent guest of my previous Burning Spirits podcast, Nutmeg the Cat. We also may be joined by the sound of a small child trying to fall asleep. But more importantly than all of those, we have our non-wrestling fan with us. Jordan, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right.
What's new?
Well,
I see you have a little package there.
Yeah, I got something for you.
Let's see.
This is a mint. Never before held by human hands. Hermetically sealed. The end. Tie beanie.
Now, in the case.
That's in case. In original display box.
In original display box with tag attached.
With tag. That's very important.
Now, here's the thing about this. Is I was at your store recently, and they had this there.
I thought of you.
Uh-huh. Well, no. So this is what happened. The bear was there.
Right.
And the machines were down because there was a storm. The credit card machines. That's I didn't have cash on me.
Dude, no cash fail.
Yeah. And so I called, we were talking later that day, and I think you said, oh, you'll put it on hold for me.
Yeah.
Well, Isabel ended up going back later that day.
Because that was over the weekend.
Yes, and bought it for me, and she said she was very embarrassed to pay for it. But I said, get that bear for me.
It's a shameful process.
Yeah, sure, yeah. But then another one turned up.
Yeah, so I didn't know that, and so I came in and I was like, okay, where's the end? Where is he? And it wasn't there.
You're searching for the end.
Yeah, I'm looking everywhere for the end, desperate for the end.
Yeah.
And it wasn't there, and I was super bummed because, you know, with Nib, dude, Nib with display box.
Yes. And for the folks at home, Nib means
new inbox.
Okay.
And so I was bummed, but then I think 2 days later, does a new one come in. So a lot of the ends floating around here.
A lot of the end.
Yeah. So enjoy it in good health.
I sure will. So this is now the third end bear that I have.
I mean, I'm probably going to just keep my eyes peeled wherever I go for them.
I was going to say the precedent has now been set.
I mean, because you're not going to, like, I'm not going to stop.
No. Nor will I.
It's a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
And so the guy, I was talking to my dad about the guy, Ty Warner or whatever. It's Ty. The guy's name is Ty.
Okay.
I know. This is a TY household.
TY, yes.
He's a Santa Barbara guy.
Come on.
And he got like in trouble for some white collar crime. Like some kind of money. Like
trading something?
Yeah, something. So. But he's back with the Beanie Boos though. The Beanie Boos are hitting in a big way.
He's back.
So.
Incredible.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Of course he's a Santa Barbara guy.
Anyway, there you go.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
What'd you get me?
Nothing.
I'll take the cat.
Not my nutmeg.
From your cold, dead hands.
Well, anyways, we're not here to discuss TY beanies as much as we may want to.
Yeah.
We're here to discuss some wrestling. So the match we have today.
What about the premise of the show for those maybe who haven't heard?
Oh, thank you. Mm. So the premise of the show, of course, is, for those maybe new listeners, is Jordan is not a wrestling fan. I am a big wrestling fan. And we do a live watch of the show of each match every episode. Matches pulled together by me, generally considered to be, you know, some of the greatest matches of all time. And we watch them, we listen to what Jordan has to say about them, and we're looking for any kind of transcendent storytelling element in the match itself. And an important part is, you know, Jordan not really knowing a lot of the backstory to these matches, or only knowing what he needs to know. So that's what the show is going to be. The match this week is Kenta Kobashi versus Mitsuharu Misawa. The date is January 20th, 1997, of course, from All Japan. So we've been going through a couple of these All Japan, well, famous All Japan matches. So this is the last one. This will be our third in a row now. So this will be the last one that we do. This is not the last we will see of these two, but for now it is, and in All Japan it is. So this is a good little trilogy for us.
Yeah, so I recognize these names.
Yes. You're not sure who they are visually.
Right, just yet, point, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. Let's start the match here. The video we are watching, this is, again, I don't want to, well, I mean, I don't know. It's on.
You can find it.
Yeah, the video size, it's 49 minutes, 14 seconds. We are starting from the beginning of it. Again, this is a very easy match to find. We will start here. I'll do a countdown. 3, 2, 1, play. And here we go. 3, 2, 1, play.
So where is this?
And so I was just going to say, this looks like a smaller building. This looks like, I'm not positive, but it looks like it's in Osaka, a building called, it's called Ideon Arena right now. It used to be called the Bodymaker Coliseum.
Dude. It's cool.
Yes. Yeah, so this is a smaller building, you can see. Not Budokan that we're usually at.
Yeah.
We did get the requisite shot of both of them in the locker room, so coming out. And we hear Spartan X, of course, and the people chanting Misawa. So that's Misawa.
Right, he's fighting to the crowd.
Yeah.
So he's the challenger in this match.
He
doesn't have the belt.
Correct. Yeah, now that's very good on you.
Yeah.
Because so. I honestly probably wouldn't have mentioned that or caught that.
Because he's kind of like the hero figure, right?
Yeah, he's the what's called like the kind of wrestling terminology would be the ace of the promotion. Oh, so he's like the top guy.
Right,
you know?
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely remember him.
Yeah. And so there's Kenta Kobashi.
Okay, yeah.
And you remember him as well.
He was part of that tag team.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were partners.
Right, got it.
So they're having a match. There's not like a big, like, someone turned on someone else or anything in this case. It's just, they don't really tag as much anymore. Misawa is teaming with another younger wrestler now.
Got it.
But.
So there's not like so much an epic storyline necessarily leading up to this very match.
Well, I mean, there is in the sense of Kobashi is a younger wrestler on the totem pole.
Got it.
But he's one of the four main wrestlers.
The pillars of heaven.
Exactly.
Or
yeah. So there is that epic sense of
Titans clashing
and him. You know, and what's interesting, of course, he's the Triple Crown champion at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, you know, the ace of the promotion challenging.
Challenging
who essentially is someone who's lower on the totem pole, you might say.
Yeah,
even
right.
Even though he's the champion. You know
yeah, it's
I mean?
A weird, like, role reversal.
Yeah, yeah. So this, of the three matches we've watched, this match I'm the least familiar with. I think I've only seen it one time before this.
Okay.
So And that, yeah, I haven't seen it in a good while, so it'll be interesting to see where this lands.
Do you remember in matches that you've seen, like, do wrestling fans tend to remember hallmarks of the match? Like can you picture things happening in this match even though you've only seen it one time?
So here's the thing, that what with All Japan in the 1990s, like, I can, okay, there's things I can remember about, like 6-3-94, mm-hmm, or the big tag match 6-9-95, and a couple other parts in, like, different matches,
mm-hmm,
throughout the 1990s that I've seen a lot of times. This is not one that I can, because there's so many great matches, but
yeah,
so many of them blend together for me.
Sure.
I've seen, especially the first half, like 90 through 95, I've seen, like, all of it, you know, that's available.
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah,
some of it a lot of times. After 95, I'm spottier.
Yeah.
I haven't seen as much or everything. Mm. So, like, I remember parts. I remember things happening between these two, but it could have been, you know, I could be remembering they have a match in 1998. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and they have another match, I think, in 1997 as well. So it's like, it's very confusing.
Yeah,
a lot of it, it's these four guys.
That's true. They're all kind of wrestling each other in different stages and different times.
Yeah. You know, for a decade.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, good point.
So you see, Misawa has longer hair.
Yeah.
And he's looking a little bit older. He's, you mm-hmm. know, 2 years older now. And he's like, he's like a big guy.
He is, yeah. They both are pretty big. He's really big.
Yeah. And he's not super, like, he's really strong looking and has muscles.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not super cut.
Yeah, he's not, like, defined, really. But he's just big.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering if you're starting to now recognize some of, like, Misawa's early offense, for instance.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I can see some similarities.
Yeah. The dive to the outside, or the drop kick, or the elbow exchanges. And so Kobashi has the chop. The chop,
right,
and Misawa has the elbow.
The elbow, yeah.
Yeah, so. And I guess we'll just talk about this during the match. What has been your impression of All Japan? So we've seen, I think this is the fourth match that we've seen. We saw that one with Jumbo and Tenryu
mm-hmm.
in the 80s. Well, I mean, we saw the early 80s Stan Hansen match. That's very different than this, though. So we've seen the Jumbo match, then we've seen these three now. What's your impression? So you see that Misawa just went for a tiger driver.
Sure, yeah.
Real early on in the match. Like
yeah.
That, and you saw the reaction from the crowd. What's been your impression of All Japan as a promotion?
Yeah, it seems like it has everything that, like, a wrestling fan would want.
Yeah.
You know, the characters are pretty defined, and there's a lot of action, and I don't know, for me, it's not as, like, glitzy as, like, I liked the female,
mm-hmm.
the Japanese female,
mm-hmm.
What promotion is that?
That would have been All Japan Women.
I mean, like, that style, I think, wouldn't have mattered if it was men or women, but I feel like that was more my style.
It's, like, faster paced.
Faster and a little kind of
more
glitzier.
Theatrical.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, there's no, I don't know. That's a good question. But I think overall, I mean, they've been pretty enjoyable. The standard is, you can tell the standard of quality for what they're going for is high.
Yeah.
You know, I can sense that, and, like, that's, oh, I heard your guy.
Yes.
Jabba, or what's the guy's name?
Baba.
Baba.
Listen to him.
That jowl. That's all from the gullet.
Well, he's a giant.
Yeah.
He's
got the... Yeah, he's a giant.
He's got the voice, you know.
Yeah. Oh, so he's going with his chops.
Yeah. 20th anniversary of his passing just happened.
Mm.
That kind of dates when we recorded this, but that's all right.
And then what was the Japanese promotion that you said worked, like, from a starting point to, a gradual escalation?
Yeah, well, so that's most of the Japanese promotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, thought that would appeal to me, but, I don't know. Maybe I want something with a little more ebb and flow.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be interesting maybe to watch. I mean, we couldn't record it. It would be too much. But, for you to sit down and watch a full show.
Yeah.
Just to see if you enjoyed it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You've watched pretty much the full WrestleMania shows with us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you were able to articulate at that point, the sense of...
Right.
Kind of bringing the crowd up and down.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was interested, because there's... At all Japan, I was interested in if this would appeal to, a casual, or not even a casual, a non-fan.
Yeah, I think it, you'd have to watch several.
Yeah.
Like we have.
Like you kind of couldn't.
Like I think it's more for you really do have to really want to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas the WWF or whatever, it's there's so much pulp there that
Yeah. It's oh yeah, cool.
You can just grab onto something.
And, yeah.
And I guess that therein lies its success commercially.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that's the point of it. Yeah.
A lot of baby fat, you know.
Yeah, and then that's even the whole the common line is that they're not like WWE or WWF as it used to be. They're not after the hardcore fans.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Because the hardcore fans are going to watch anyways.
It's kind of that's kind of ingenious, actually.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it kind of... I'm going to have a Twinkie.
You pulled it.
As I am hardcore.
For those at home, Jordan pulled a loose Twinkie out of a plastic bag.
Medium toast. It looks pretty good. Golden top. Yeah, this little flaking, it's a good Twinkie. kind of an interesting business model when you think of it, because it makes obviously perfect sense from a capitalistic standpoint, but when you think of this is in the arts.
Yeah.
And you debate how artistic it really is and that, but that's where it lies.
Sure.
You know, it's, and I think the real argument is which more is it sport or art, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Because that's where it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So when you think about it in terms of, say, you start a band or a record label, your ideas there are to attract and drive into the hardcore, the people that would really get a lot out of it and seek the nuances of it. That's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
You know, but the McMahon guy kind of flipped that on its head.
Yeah.
It's go for go for that outer rim, which is much bigger.
Yeah.
And the hardcore people will be there anyway.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. It's, and I don't know the history of marketing of WWF, you know, very well. So I'm not sure when exactly he... I mean, Hulkamania and the rock and wrestling connection, when like Hulk Hogan took off and they hooked up with MTV,
mm-hmm.
that's when it took off. That's when everything exploded.
Yeah.
But, and you know, of course, you're on MTV, you're marketing to non-wrestling fans. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And that's how it was through that era and has continued to be. But I'm not sure, like, if that... I don't know when that realization was made.
Yeah.
Because he bought... You know, Vince McMahon bought the company from his father. And then went national.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it used to be a Northeastern territory wrestling company.
Right.
And they did, you know, great business in Madison Square Garden and all that.
Sure, right? Yeah.
But, yeah, so I don't know if that's just something that Vince McMahon saw, you know, while his father was running it and just capitalized on that or what. But
yeah, I think, you know, also just time and place, it really coincided with that kind of bronze age of superhero stuff, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the next era of kids getting back into, like, real superhero type stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so, like, children like me who loved superheroes, you know, I could have those action figures alongside
yeah, sure.
my Superman and Spider-Man because they were very marketable in a they're kind of comic-y and they were heroes, you yeah. know, like that's how it was presented.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard. We've talked about this before, but so we're watching a match like this and this seems a little more like it's kind of like pure professional wrestling, like they're holding each other and then there's like they're exchanging blows.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like and then he, like, okay, so Kobashi goes with the neck chop, like you said, and now he just dead fell because he was hit.
Yeah.
So all this is, like, significant, but watching it, even though I've seen these two perform before, it's, like, hard for me to pick up on.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're not playing, like, to any... They're not, like... They're not going for, like, low-hanging fruit. Right. And also, like, there's... It's thematic to the season and the place and the story arc and the people and the characters.
Yeah.
So it's like, I haven't...
You have to...
I haven't seen this, you know? Like,
you have to know a lot.
Yeah, so, again, the WWF type, they just come right in there and they present you with stuff that you can instantly understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
very, very simple
yeah, and like
stories. And
yeah, and, you know, like I told you, you know, Lindsay took Solomon, our son, to the bookstore, and he picked out a book by John Cena.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they're going, and it's a good, like, cute book, and it's like they just take these very basic, like, universal themes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the book is about, like, just don't ever give up. Like, you know, always yes. be yourself and, like, try really hard. You yes. know, that's what the book's about. It's like, just try really hard.
Yes.
And it's, like, such a simple, you know, human theme.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Yeah, and that's yeah. why that guy is, like, where he is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a 3-year-old could, like, understand that and like it and
yeah.
feel empowered by it. And so can, like, a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
So can a 23-year-old, et cetera.
Yeah.
So it's, like... This doesn't have that, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I'm like, he's not looking at me in the camera and you yeah. got it. You don't ever give up, you know, and like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, it's not in your face.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the whole thing of Hulkamania was say your prayers.
Yeah.
Eat your vitamins, all that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's where we are. I mean, that's kind of the point of the show is looking for something deeper and like, is there something there that kind of weaves its way through all that?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, but... there's also, like... I know nothing about Japan.
Sure.
And so, you know nothing about the culture, and then you don't know anything about the sport.
Yeah.
So you've got two layers to cut through there.
Yeah.
So that's where it kind of gets even more complex and interesting.
Yeah. And so, to pick up on this match here,
they're doing their kind of trademark moves to each other, right?
Yes. Yeah. Real back and forth element to this match. Would you agree?
Definitely. Yeah. They've kind of been showcasing the moves that they were doing in the other match that we saw, and it's kind of like you said, no guy has had the upper hand.
Yeah, for like an extended amount of time.
Yeah, for an extended amount of time.
And if you notice, we just witnessed a big strike exchange that they would kind of like hulk up isn't necessarily the right word, but they would absorb the blows,
right,
and go, you know, drive them back. Whoa, look at that.
Mm.
So Misawa went for just a diving elbow and just
rammed into that guardrail.
Yeah.
And is that an injury that he's got? Was that a brace from an injury, or does he wear that?
He wears it generally. Yeah. But that, you know, that's his weapon.
That's right. His thing.
Yeah. So something else is, so we've talked a lot about in the past, like you need some kind of absurd like element to really.
Sure. Yeah.
So I wonder, like, what you would,
or like maybe to define it a little further, I need a capital O other. An other needs to be present.
And the other is just whatever, something that makes you not sure what you're watching.
Exactly. And like, I think if I were to watch enough of this, that could be like a thing one of these guys does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that might be, that's where you're at, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you watch this and you probably don't even consciously like know it, but you feel those things because you know these characters and you know what you should expect from them, but then they do something that pivots that.
I think I wonder if, like, at this point, the people, so what a lot of people really, really like in their wrestling, and it comes from here. I mean, if you want to go back, it comes from the 60s or 70s big title matches. But anyways, it's the kick, like big kickouts, a big near fall.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna get pinned.
They're done, and then they come out. Yeah.
I wonder if that's what, and so people really, really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, so big finishing like exchanges where they're reversing their moves and all that. I wonder if that's kind of an example of what you're talking about to someone that actively
watches and understands.
Yeah, like to a real diehard.
Mm-hmm.
To where you know what you're watching is fake, but you don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
And so you get invested not in, is this real or is this not real, but is this person going to win?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just plain and simple. Like, oh, I don't know who's going to win. I'm excited to see who's going to win.
Hmm.
I don't know. I wonder if that's kind of an example of it.
Could be, yeah.
So
they're going on each other on the guardrail outside.
Yeah, so Kobashi, he's taking advantage of that injury.
Yeah, and he's been having the upper hand for a bit now.
Yes. So I wonder, like, if we were to watch, like, an old classic, like, NWA championship match from the 70s, two out of three falls, the whole, a real classic Jack Briscoe versus Dory Funk match, whatever it is, where it's presented as real.
The
people watching it believe that it's real, and they're, you know, presenting a real
product. They're selling
product.
A thing.
Yeah.
There. Yeah.
where, and it's essentially the mat wrestling, exchanging holds on the mat.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what you would think of that.
We're not gonna watch. Yeah, that'd be pretty heavy, I think, because I think I might have to dig deep, you know, like to and really like focus on like, because we kind of get to watch these matches and pontificate about the overall like idea of wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's enough going on here that I can pick up on while we're doing that.
Yes.
But like, I don't know for like pure wrestling if I could do that.
No, yeah. I mean, we couldn't record.
Yeah.
You would have to just sit and watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of them are like an hour draw.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
So like, we're not going to do that. That wouldn't be like that wouldn't be entertaining to
yeah.
anybody.
Yeah.
But I wonder if you could get there conceptually.
Yeah.
More so than Jumbo versus Tenryu.
As a
straight wrestling
that
match.
That could be, yeah, that could be.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it seems like that'd be like its purest form there.
With the other being.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that like. People think this is real.
Yeah, right.
And like. Those old guys, still to this day, they don't tell too many of their secrets, you know?
Cool. Yeah, that's cool.
And.
That's more like vaudevillian.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it's as like shifty and fake and carny as it ever was.
Sure.
But, and I mean more so in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But like the idea that it was like legitimate wrestlers,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, high level
mm-hmm.
amateur wrestlers that, you know, went over to professional wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're doing, like, real things to each other.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the concept, I think you're right. I think the concept is a little more pure. And the audience would play a big part in that, too.
Right.
You know? That is an interesting idea. You're probably right. That's probably closer than, like, the 10-room match or whatever.
Yeah. Or, like, so something else. So...
Because that's where it's hard for me. The psyche of watching, and a lot of non-wrestling fans, I think, is like...
Is watching something that's obviously fake.
Yeah, like when there's not full-on, in-your-face pyrotechnics going on.
And just absurdity.
And I'm not... You know that I'm not like... I'm not trying to dress down wrestling. I'm just saying that's really hard to like suspend that much disbelief.
Yeah.
And really get something out of it, like, repeatedly.
Yeah.
Unless you understand something about it.
Yes.
So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's what I am always striving for.
Yeah, yeah.
Is like I have no emotional... I have an emotional connection to, like, a few old matches.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But, like... New, okay, so...
Since we said there wasn't really an upper hand, pretty much Kobashi has been, like, jacking Misawa this, like, entire time.
The entire time, it's always like, on the elbow.
Yeah, like, since that, so however long ago that was, he's just been ruining him.
Yeah.
And right now, he's holding that elbow, and the crowd's freaking out.
And so, yeah, so he gave him a big suplex. It was like half Nelson suplex.
Okay, yeah.
So anyways, going back to what I was saying, like, I really don't have an emotional connection to, like, any wrestling now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I just, I don't know. Just, for whatever reason, like, this is, I don't invest emotionally
right
in it. But I want to try to understand it, you know? Like, that's always what I'm searching for. And, like, when I talk about it with people.
I mean, that's kind of insightful, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because you're, like, a big wrestling fan.
Yeah. But that's what I'm trying to understand the psychology and why they do the things they do and all that, you know?
I mean, the psychology is so deep.
That's
and, like,
what's
multi-layered.
Yeah, yeah.
about everything about it.
Yeah.
So top down, like from the people who run these promotions down to whoever's setting the stage up.
Yeah.
And everybody in between. It's like,
yeah,
there's so much there.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's very fascinating. But it, like, I that's to my detriment, really, because I find it very difficult to sit down and, like, if there's a match, you know, people on the internet say, oh, whatever match, this is awesome, this match is great. I find it very difficult to just sit down and watch it.
Hmm.
Like, I have to, and it's not even, it's not even, I have to be emotionally invested in the whole story or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Because I'm not. What I do have to understand is, I really try to understand the full context.
Mm.
So what that means for me is, like, I have to watch everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? To try to understand it. Because I feel like that's how I enjoy wrestling.
Yeah, so you're kind of undermining your own process by doing what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right?
I mean, 100%. I may have even said this on the show that, like, I don't like to watch wrestling out of context. Hmm. I don't think it... I don't like to watch a match from a show. Like, I think wrestling is supposed to be watched... I mean, it's supposed to be watched as it's presented.
Sure.
So...
Yeah, that's kind of where I feel lost, you know?
Sure, yeah. So, like... So you're seeing, again, to cut in, you're seeing a lot of these big suplexes now.
Mm-hmm.
And Masawa's landing on right on his head, you know?
Right, yeah.
And we know what happens to him, of course, later, but a big criticism of the style and what it became, because we've talked about the style before, how...
Just the pushing to the next.
The pushing, yeah, yeah, and so yeah. Each match builds upon the previous one, and so you had this real escalation of these big moves where guys are getting dropped on their heads and stuff.
That's... gnarly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're seeing now, we're kind of not talking about the match maybe as much as we should, but we're seeing the crowd. If you notice that the crowd is ramping up now.
Yeah, they are.
As soon as, like, the kickouts started and the suplexes started, it's like, okay, now things are going. So, yeah, like, I find it very hard. I think you're supposed to... like, in order to fully understand what you're watching, like, you need to watch the full show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To see where it lands in the, you know, the context and everything. And, like, that's, like, people pay, or people are putting out a product. I don't like to use that term product. I don't know. I don't like it. But people are presenting you something in a certain way, and it, I
well, you're huge on context in pretty much all the arts, really. Yeah.
So it's like it's kind of doing everything a disservice, in my mind, to like take one match from there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, that's absolutely what I'm doing with this project.
Yeah, that's funny.
But I'm recontextualizing it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm the full show.
That's
is,
what makes it interesting.
Is the series of matches we're watching, because we're doing it in chronological order.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm looking for, like, your opinion on match to match development, progress of the art and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had more to say, but I forget.
So now Misawa is trying to, like, kind of stage a comeback.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's starting to get up a little faster. And so what's the height of this promotion's popularity at this point in 1997? I mean, is this their golden era, or has that passed, or is it to come?
It's passed a little bit, yeah. So probably 95... I think even as early as 96, the attendance was starting to decline just slightly. Mm. Yeah. So, and there's big discussions on why that was, of course. you know, so, like the real dangerous head drop type moves. Some people say that. Some people say it's the guy in the black and the yellow, Kawada. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Remember him? Him not winning. You know, not beating Misawa when he did. You know.
Everyone's got their speculations.
And, yeah, and no one knows really. You know, it could have happened no matter what. You know? But yeah, so they would continue to decline until the year 2000, when everyone leaves the company.
Got it.
Yeah, and it's Misawa. He leads everyone. Everyone out of the company. So he becomes president, and then he's like out. I don't know what the term is. Forced to resign or something. Mm-hmm. He's removed as president. So, you know, another style I would be curious to watch. Again, we couldn't watch it for this. Like, it'd be boring. So you're seeing Kobashi here. You know, selling that arm.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
He was, like, hobbling over there.
Yeah. So limping, essentially crawling, but limping on his arm.
Yeah, really trying to pin Misawa, who's barely conscious, it feels like.
Yeah.
So they're both just...
So what do you think of Kobashi? Do you think that's cool? Do you think it's too much?
He doesn't seem as, like, good at it as others we've seen.
Hmm.
But okay. I don't know what that means really, but I like how expressive he is. And I liked him in the other match for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I don't know if we wrote down the pillar ranking, but I think he was probably on the lower end when I ranked them.
He was. I didn't write it down.
So that kind of still holds, you know, watching this match.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crowd's really going off now.
Yeah. And this, and I think this is, I'm almost positive this is that building in Osaka. And it's a legendarily, like, rowdy crowd.
I'm gonna have a cupcake.
Okay. So over the course, so far, you've eaten a Twinkie, a Hostess cupcake, and a Dr. Pepper.
Mm. Even swirls on the top. A good round chocolate, yeah. Mm. So, it's kind of interesting, the crowd's level of awareness, because they seem to kind of, like, know when to cheer.
Yeah.
In a weird way, because... I mean, as an outsider, I was thinking, oh, this crowd's kind of dead a little bit, because they were cheering when the guys were coming out, but then, like, when the match started for the first 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I mean, you could, like, hear specific people yelling, you know, it was, like, that quiet.
Yeah.
But now it's, like, thunderous.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And that's a... There's an old... kind of myth or trope or something about Japanese crowds. Oh, they're real quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true in some regards, kind of, especially in the older days.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, one thing is that they kind of build with the match.
Yeah, that's what's crazy.
Yeah, but like you said, yeah, it's like they kind of know when to. And you could say they know, the crowd knows when to cheer, or you could say the wrestlers know how to get the crowd to cheer.
Sure, yeah. So, we've seen Kobashi attempt to pin Misawa several times.
Yes.
But I haven't really seen the... I mean, I don't know how much I've missed. It doesn't feel like Misawa's gotten a lot of attempts.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
(clears again, if you're touching the ropes, if you're on the ropes, you're kind of like protected in a sense. Is that right? Yes. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's like quiet.
Yeah.
You can hear like individual people like yelling.
Yeah. And again, is that the ability of the wrestlers or is that the knowledge of the crowd?
Yeah.
And the awareness of the crowd? You know, typically it's the wrestlers who are able to control the crowd. I mean, that's kind of one of the main, obviously the main points of wrestling.
Yeah, the charisma.
Yeah. But the Japanese fans, like, all tropes and everything aside, they are, like, smarter. The term smart, you know, is, like, knowing inside terms.
And, yeah.
Oh, boy. So, Kobashi
that was sketchy.
Kobashi was going up for, he was going to powerbomb Misawa off the ring, but Misawa reversed it into a Frankensteiner.
A Frankensteiner?
Yeah.
And is that the skirt? What's the
apron.
Term?
Apron. Yeah. Apron. I guess the skirt is actually the little, you know, where it says All Japan.
Yeah.
The apron. I don't know. Was I saying something? I think I was, but I can't remember now. Been a long day.
Heck of a day.
So there's another style in Japan, a wrestling style called shoot style. Have we talked about that?
We have a little bit, yeah.
So it's like mock MMA.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something else where I wonder, it wouldn't be entertaining to watch, really,
right,
for this. Yeah, but I wonder what you would think of that.
Yeah, that would be, I would need to be, like, in the right mind frame, I think.
And yeah,
like, have the, like, presence of mind of study it, because I don't think I would enjoy it.
No, I don't think so either. And I think it would be even harder than an old 70s match.
So, like, do you like watching matches from, like, the 60s and 70s?
Yeah. I like it. I like most wrestling.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of my very, very, very favorite matches. Well, one of them of, like, all-time favorite matches is from the 60s with Giant Baba.
Giant Baba. Like, would a 13-year-old who likes WWF or whatever right now, would he or she like watching a match from the 70s? Or?
No.
I imagine stylistically so much has changed, right?
It's totally different.
Okay.
Yeah. No, there's no chance. I mean, most...
It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to think about it like that? I mean, it makes sense because it's kind of like that across the spectrum, you know.
Yeah.
Like, 13-year-old that listens to what's on the radio now wouldn't necessarily listen to what's on the radio back then,
right?
You know, lot's changed, but it's just weird to think of it in those terms.
Yeah. No, I mean most diehard adult fans don't like that kind of thing either.
Now he's bringing out the elbows.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that...
It's...
That stuff's pretty gnarly to see.
Yeah. I mean, knowing what happens to him, obviously.
Yeah.
But even without, it's...
Any of the landing on a head or neck is just like... I don't care how trained these guys are, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, is that something that kind of gets you there, or?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's part of that, I think.
Yeah.
It's so, like, harrowing, you know?
Yeah. And so we're like firmly in, you know, what would be called like the home stretch or the finishing stretch of the match. So, yeah, like take, I hope it's not too much longer. I mean, it won't be. It'll be a few weeks until we're at the end, until we're at the last match. But I'm curious, like, comparing this to some future matches that we watch, what you think of...
And I'll try to really lock it in.
Yeah. What you think of, like, this kind of escalation and this finishing sequences and all that.
You're not going to show me one where a guy gets really, like, messed up or dies.
Right? Is that what you want to see?
I do not want to see that.
No, I'm not going
to
show
that. I just don't want it to be like, surprise, like, look, did you see it? Did you see it? He snapped his neck.
Right, yeah, no, no.
It's like a fear.
No. You're not into that stuff?
I guess not. Faces of death.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, did you...
No.
I mean...
No, I saw a couple things on that website. What was that site that was really popular?
Rotten.com.
Rotten.com. Man.
Yeah.
And you know, as you can imagine, yeah, everyone knows someone who's, like, stoked on that site.
Yes.
I just, like, was not.
Yeah. What stuff did you see? The guy that got his arm ripped off.
One of the famous ones was, like, a close-up of, a guy after a motorcycle accident. And face is gone. Like, his lower half is, like, gone.
Yeah.
And then there was another one where a guy was, like, split in half, like, another car, like, a car accident.
Yeah.
And it's, like, his entrails are, like, between him, his halves. It's just really, really disgusting.
Yes.
And I do not find that entertaining or interesting at all.
Yeah.
Rotten.com.
Rotten.com.
I wonder what Rotten.com is like in 2019.
Like an equivalent?
No, like is that still an enterprise? Because that had a market then.
Yeah, I don't trust the security of
your devices.
Of my devices to go to that website in 2019.
So they win.
Yeah, they win.
Like they're the most rotten.
They're rotten. Yeah. They are rotten. So again, something to note here is like the speed at which they're moving or lack of speed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So compare this to the Steamboat versus Flair match, where, if you remember, long match, close to an hour, but they were like going the whole time.
Yes.
Different, like, psychology, you know?
Very different.
This has a much more epic feel.
It does.
And so it's like there's a little burst of energy, and then it's that release.
Yeah, know, they're just down. Exactly. Okay, so Misawa wins, right?
Misawa wins. New Triple Crown champion. He wins with the elbow. Which. So the big moves and everything couldn't take down Kobashi, but like his old trusty elbow could, you know?
And he was underdogging it the whole fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they're both just kind of lying there together.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little more like straight.
Yeah.
You know, and this is going to be kind of a hard one for me to rank, I think.
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna slowly fade out. So it's kind of the post match thing. They're both on the ground. Their attendants are checking them. You know, that kind of thing. So I'm gonna fade this out.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation. Check it out, everybody. So I'm here to tell you about everything that we've got going on the PTBN wrestling feed. So dig it. We have plenty of great content for you right here on that very Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, including the Place to Be podcast, the mothership of PTBN, where co-hosts JT Rosero and Scott Criscolo take you chronologically through the history of WWE. PTBN Main Event with hosts Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, and Steve Willey, breaking down all of the current events in the world of wrestling. Row 1, Seat 1, an interesting look inside the world of small-town wrestling and beyond, with host Ben Zanny welcoming in a variety of guests every other week. Talking WCW heads to Center Stage Theater, where Tim Capel, Greg Phillips, and Jennifer Smith pay tribute to the legendary promotion of the Dirty South. Body Press Your Luck, a brand new wrestling game show hosted by JT Rosero and Jordan Duncan, with this ring in which husband and wife Ryan and Cindy Everett discuss specific matches and their respective fandoms. You Don't Know Billy Jack, where Drew Wardlaw, that's me, and my friend Jordan, watch and discuss some of the greatest wrestling matches of all time through the eyes of a non-wrestling fan in search of a universal connection in pro wrestling storytelling. Let me say really quick, that description which I wrote is twice as long as all the other descriptions for shows. How stupid am I? I can't stand that description. Eh. Oh well. Anyways, plus monthly WWE pay-per-view reaction shows and semi-regular shows like Jenny and the Gems, which I am also on, PTB NXT, Adam's Division, Special Relations, and more. Also, be sure to check out the PTB in Pop feed, littered with great content offering tremendous shows like The Hard Traveling Fanboys, The Year in Pop, Laughing Theater, DC4U, Marvel Age, the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast, which I'm a huge fan of, and so much more. So subscribe today. And while you are at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's own feed, The Jenny Position, as it is the new home of shows like Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, MCU Journey Through Infinity, and more. Also, check out the brand new North-South Connection, brought to you by JT Rosero and Chad Campbell. It's the new home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and more. And guess what, everybody? The moment I've been waiting for. We have officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do your research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Be sure not to forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, pop culture, and beyond, including Trent's SmackDown report on Fox, This Week in WWE by Jon Crow, Paulie's perspective, and Ben's unpopular opinion. And don't forget to check out veteran columns like the Glenn Butler Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, you ever heard of it, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Hey, boy, couldn't get any better, I'd say. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Back to the show.
So this will be very interesting, and that was by design, of course.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's just get right into our standardized questions here. So general thoughts on the match.
I thought like it was good for what it was trying to be, which is, you know, a Clash of the Titans
mm-hmm.
wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
This one was a little harder for me to kind of engage, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Especially coming off of that tag team match.
Yeah.
That had a lot there for me to...
Yeah.
You know, even though it was like, it was wrestling, you know, it was a straight wrestling match. It was, the characters involved all played off each other, and...
Yeah.
This one kind of had that familiar arc of, you know, the guy getting hammered down, and then he comes back, and,
mm-hmm.
and he's the guy who wants to win the title and that. And,
mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you can't say it's not like... That wasn't a good match.
Right.
You know, if you're looking for professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Did, a quick side question, did we not pay close enough attention to the match? Did that hurt?
I think there's enough, like, I have enough awareness.
Yeah, to, like, we were watching it. We weren't.
Yeah.
We
weren't, like, play-by-playing the thing.
As much.
You
yeah,
know,
but,
which... I hope the audience can forgive that, but I think part of that was, though, because of kind of what was going on,
yeah.
too. I
yeah.
mean, you know, you didn't have things, like, there weren't so many hallmarks to kind of point out, you know, as it was happening.
Right.
And
yeah.
That's what makes it a match like that a little harder for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, I was wondering about that, if it was kind of if it was like a chicken or the egg thing, like there's not as many hallmarks, so we were talking about other things, or we started talking about other things and missed those hallmarks, you know?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, I mean, I have my own feelings on it, but you kind of went through why you liked it or why you didn't. So mm-hmm. you liked it, not as
moderately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was the story that the wrestlers were trying to convey?
It did feel heavier. I mean, it felt like there's a familiarity there. And, you know, it's hard for me to separate this, like, into a vacuum, because we did see that other match
mm-hmm.
that involved them. So I knew that they, you know, were partners and this. Mm-hmm. But it felt kind of... Pretty straightforward, though. Like, it didn't feel like a grudge match or...
Right. Yeah.
And just going for that crown or the belt or whatever.
Yeah.
And you could feel the gravity, and you could feel that they were doing their thing where it was like they were going to bring out their weapons, you know, and, like,
yeah.
what makes them the superior wrestler. And they were using that on each other the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did feel that, and then, you know... Misawa trying to overcome, but not getting there for, you know, probably a good 30 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And then it starts to become a real exchange, like, in the beginning, and then he was just down for like,
yeah.
the majority of the match, and then at the end it was became an exchange again, and that by then they were just so kind of like weary
mm-hmm.
that they were trying, you know, again their moves, and he kind of dug deep. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
you know, because he was getting beat down, like, pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like in that way it was pretty clear. I mean, that's what, you know.
Yeah.
I could follow that.
Sure. Yeah. Now, can you see why this match is considered one of the greatest of all time?
That's a little harder for me.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, in that, like, you know, if you were to explain to me what professional wrestling is, this, like, this would fit that.
Yeah.
So there, in that way, it was, like, really successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is probably what wrestling, what professional wrestling, like, should look like.
Mm-hmm.
But that was hard for me. That'd be hard for me to, like, understand its place in, like, the history of wrestling.
Yeah. So this one, as with a lot of the All Japan 90s matches, this is another one of those that's known by its date. 12097, mm-hmm. That's all you have to say. But this one is much less known, certainly, than 6995 or 6394.
Okay.
Yeah, but one that, you know, real hardcore fans, again, consider to be, you know, one of the greatest. Friend of the show, Chad Campbell, at one point has said that this is, I think he switched back to 6995, but at one point this was his vote for, you know, greatest match of all time.
Okay.
So, yeah, and again, just those, you know, one of those kind of hardcore fans think that, and the people that have watched all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this is firmly one, though, that people that have watched a lot of the 90s All Japan stuff.
Yeah.
This is not one that's more casually known.
Like, so does my answer surprise you?
No.
Because, I mean, I feel like, you know, we're watching all these for a reason.
Yeah.
And typically, I mean, there's been a couple where I've been like, oh, I don't know. But, you know, for the most part, I can feel something special about it.
Yeah.
And that was a little harder on this one for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me at all. I was, I mean, this is one that, I mean, I do like this match. I think it's pretty awesome, but it's much, I don't think it's as great as other people do, and it's much more difficult to just sit down and watch,
mm-hmm.
and to get it. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Those other two, especially the tag match.
Yeah.
But even the singles match,
mm-hmm.
the atmosphere is so, I mean, that the yeah. first. But before the bell starts, that's my favorite part of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's such a sense of gravity to it.
There is, yeah.
And like it commands your attention. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, like, what is this? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And then the tag match, obviously, there's so many just, you know, purely transcendent
mm-hmm.
elements to that. This is one that's much harder. It's much more reliant on knowing the, you know, the power of Misawa's elbow, for instance, the idea that he's not the champion going through, and that he's been the ace of the promotion for the past 7 years, and, you know, is starting to maybe lose it a little bit.
Right.
And the idea of Kobashi ascending, you know, the pecking order, and mm-hmm. him coming as champion, and, you know, all those kind of things.
Yeah,
it's, for there's sure. a lot there. So anyways, let's rank the matches here.
Okay.
Do you want me to read through your rankings?
Yeah, would you be able to?
Yes. So, oops. What do we got going here? Okay, I think we've got, oh, they might be all messed up. I can't read my own rankings now. Hold on. Well, I'm gonna read something and tell me if this sounds right to you.
I'll do my best. Sometimes the names get hard for me.
Yeah. So Magnum Tully, number one.
Yeah.
6995, number two.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right to mm-hmm. you? Bach Hennig, number three.
Mm-hmm.
The Dream Slam, number four. That was the singles match.
Yeah.
Dream Rush, the tag match, number five. Let's see. The New Japan Gauntlet, number six. The Tenryu Jumbo match, number seven. The War Games, the Great Lost episode, number eight.
Yeah.
Sangre Chicana, MS1, number nine. Macho Man Steamboat, number 10. There should be an 11 somewhere, too. I don't know. This is the 13th episode that we've done, and there's a match is there. So whatever. I don't...
Yeah.
Whatever. That gives you some idea.
Yeah, yeah. No, that sounds right.
Yeah, so I'm not sure where my... because I've got an extra 2 in there somewhere. But, you know what? 6-3-96. That's where it was. So that was number 6 for you.
Okay.
Then 7, New Japan Gauntlet. 8, Tenryu Jumbo. 9, War Games. 10, Sangre Chicana. MS1. 11, Macho Man Steamboat.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm assuming, let's see, 1 for Magnum Tully. I mean, where does this one sit for?
I'm going to have to throw this down second to last.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, not surprising.
Yeah. It's obviously worthy of the whole thing and the list, but...
Sure. So that'd be 3, 4, Bach Hennig number 4, Dream Rush, or Dream Slam, number 5, Dream Rush Tag, number 6, 6-3-94, number 7, Tenryu Jumbo, 8, The War Games is number 9, Sangre Chicana MS1. Oh, I forgot the darn New Japan one.
For me, that was in the middle.
That was in the middle.
Yeah, so that was right with another Japanese promotion.
So that should have been 7.
Probably, yeah, somewhere around there.
That's 6. Good grief. Oh, I gotta do this all over again. Unbelievable. Sorry. Madam Tully number 1.
The folks at home can bear with us for just a moment.
They better. Those old folks. Number 3. Dream Slam number 4. Dream Rush number 5. 6, number 7, number, I forgot that one again. I just messed up again. Forget it. I'm not doing it
anymore. Well, we got there.
Second to last. Yeah, I'm not even going to name mine just because I'm all messed up.
Well, give me like a rough.
Yeah, so this would be,
like, would this be top, middle, or bottom? You know, portionally, where would this be?
This would be below Jumbo Tenryu for me.
Okay.
Yeah. So below. So. It would be below. Below the New Japan Gauntlet, actually. So I guess second to last for me too. I'm just copying you at this point.
Yeah, you're looking to me.
to see what I like in wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, well, what did you think watching the match then?
Yeah, so I'd only seen it one time before. I remember liking it. I don't remember. I didn't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
It really did not grab me this time the way certainly a lot of the others have. I really liked the big shift in momentum when, you know, Misawa hurts his elbow, and then from there you've got, so it's like, the structure is really cool, because it's that real back and forth, and it has a real huge, like you said, Clash of the Titans type feel, where they're trying to figure out how to get an advantage. You've got a little bit of work back and forth, and finally there's a huge shift of momentum. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Like that, that's, you know, I love that kind of thing. And then it plays, you know, from there, Kobashi, all of his work is focused on the elbow. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Misawa has to overcome that.
Right.
And then his big moves don't work. And so he's got to rely on that elbow.
The trusty
elbow. That's like an awesome story.
It's great. Yeah, it is.
And talking about it, and talking about like the structure and everything, I like the structure and the idea of it a lot more than actually watching
mm-hmm.
than the actual match itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
were these guys known to be planners? Like, would they have jotted that out? Like, we just...
You know what? I have no idea. I mean, I would say definitely.
It felt like a... If that was fluid, that'd be pretty impressive.
Yeah, I that would be pretty impressive.
I mean, I'm not saying like they couldn't do that. You said some guys do that.
But. Yeah, I have no idea, like, Giant Baba, what he wanted his guys to do.
Mm.
You know, in 1997. Like, I don't know enough about the backstage stuff and the style and everything, mm-hmm. you know. So, like, there certainly were... I'm sure there were things highlighted. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they probably planned out a loose structure at least.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm going to beat you with an elbow.
Yeah, cuz I mean the structure, like you said, was cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome, but it just I mean the crowd was awesome.
Mhm.
Both guys were awesome in it. I thought Kobashi was a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
A little bit too much for me.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
But, yeah, I mean, talking about it and everything, it's great. It just, I don't know, actually watching it, I don't know, it was 42 minutes long.
Yeah.
Too, you know?
Yeah, it's a big match.
That's a long match.
Yeah.
Like, they probably could have done... without some of that,
yeah, you know? Yeah. I think if they would have cut down that middle period a little bit,
yeah,
you know, where he's really working on that elbow,
yeah,
then maybe that would have held my interest a little bit more.
Yeah, that could have been. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe even some of the finishing stretch part of it. I don't like to get into like nitpicking what these guys say, but you know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. If it were, like, under 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Cut down a little bit from each part.
Mm-hmm.
That may have helped a lot, but...
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think, I've abandoned the... we'll get back on it next...
The power rankings.
The power rankings. We'll get back on it next time, but I don't feel like figuring it out.
Yeah,
but,
no.
They've
suffered enough.
Yes. They truly have. But before we go, how much is your house payment every month?
Too much. Kitty litter and a wooden nickel. That's what we pay. That's what we give to some old man. We put it in the sack and we leave it on our front porch.
Excuse me?
That's how we pay our house off.
I'm sorry.
Oh...
Well,
then that's how you can find me on the internet.
There you go. Find me on the internet. I don't want to give it out. I don't want to.
No, do it.
No, I don't want to.
Do it.
No.
Don't.
No, I'm not going to. Thank you for listening, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
shadows, the sun was pushing through. Spoke a lot of words, I don't know if I spoke the truth. Got so much to lose, got so much to prove. God, don't let me lose my mind. Travel on my left, travel on my right. I've been facing trouble almost all my life. Pull me through. Everywhere I look, I catch a glimpse of you. I said it.